good. So, you start, yeah? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyyi al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ali Muhammad.
وعلى آل الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني من نور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك انشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Lesson 17. As you remember, was about different meanings or aspects of Tawheed, unity of God and monotheism. Alhamdulillah, we studied five different aspects or meanings of Tawheed. Then at the end, there are two conclusions and one question. One conclusion is that because, as we discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is running this world and everything that happens is His action. He has the full power, control, sovereignty. So, no one other than Him should be worshipped. Because whom do you worship? You worship someone that can do something for you, or at least has done something for you, and out of gratitude, appreciation, you want to do something. For example, you say, okay, He has created me, He has given me life, I want to worship. Or, I want success, I want sustenance, I want rain, I worship. Okay, some people were worshiping idols because they thought these idols, for example, can give them something. Or, you know, there were gods and goddesses. But if you know that everything is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one and nothing independent from God can have any role, then you should only worship Him. You should not worship anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one result or conclusion of our discussion last week. The second conclusion is that now that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of every action, everything good comes from Him. He is the source of anything good in this world. He is the creator of anything in this world. Then, whom should we hope for our desires, for our, you know, expectations? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not have any hope in anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whom should we fear? If there is anything to worry, is to worry about Allah being unhappy with us. Allah not being supporting us. Yeah, that's the worry. Otherwise, you shouldn't. You know, for example, if you travel to a country and then you are told that this country has a king or, you know, ruler that has all the power, everyone listens to him, everyone acts according to his instructions, okay? So, you have this understanding that, okay, I must be very careful. I may get into trouble with anyone, but not with the king, not with the ruler. Because with the people, if I have problem, then there is someone else I can go and, you know, ask for help. But if I get into trouble with the king, then I get into trouble with everyone. Because everyone is listening to him. Yeah? You cannot fight head of a state or, I don't know, commander of an army, and then feel that you are safe and everyone else would be okay with you. Then if you have problem with the head, everyone has problem with you. Okay? So, you try to be very careful. On the other hand, if you have good relation with that person, if you know that person loves you and has a special attention to you, a special care for you, you will become very relaxed, very, you know, confident, and say, okay, I can do everything in this country because I have this support. Okay? Of course, you don't want to mischief anything good that you want to do, anything good that you wish for yourself. So, a mu'min, a believer, who knows that all the good things come from Allah, and this world is 100% obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he feels very much at home, he feels comfortable, there's nothing to worry, because Allah is there. Sometimes, maybe for a short period of time, you have problem. Okay? For example, you want to go to a very huge, I don't know, organization. Head of this organization is your father. Actually, the whole organization is created by your father, funded by your father, everyone is taught by your father, okay? Everything belongs to you, even the building is done by your father, everything. So, you are very happy that, alhamdulillah, my work is today in this organization. I don't have any problem. But when you want to enter, the security guy doesn't let you in. Says, we have to check, you know, who are you? Are you trusted? So you don't want to introduce you because you are very proud. You know, you say, why I should, you know, I want to go in. Says, no, there is a procedure here. Say, do you know who am I? He said, I don't care who you are. This is the procedure. Okay. If in your heart, you know that you have come for good reason, and also your father is there, you take it easy. Say, no problem. Even if this person is an angry person, if this person is, you know, creating problem for me, it's not important. I can always make a phone call directly to my father and say, you know, I am stuck here. Then he brings me. So, in this world, sometimes we get into trouble with people, either out of their bad akhlaq and habit, or maybe they are doing their normal things. Okay? I am not patient enough. I am not, you know, for example, wise enough. I have got into trouble. But in my heart, I know that at the end, I have someone to help me. This is very important. You know, this gives you peace of mind. A mu'min in this world feels at home, doesn't feel as a stranger, because this world belongs to whom? To my Lord. Yeah, it's not that I am, you know, a stranger in this world. I have come from another planet, and you know, this planet is created by someone else, so I have nothing to do here. No, I am in a world which is created by my Lord. Is much better than being in an organization or a country which is run by your father. Because Allah has full control, Allah can do everything, and also he has greater love for you than your father. how much Allah loves each of us. No one can measure. There is hadith that the love that Allah has for his servants is, if I'm not mistaken, 70 times more than love of Ya'qub for Yusuf. Ya'qub had a special love for Yusuf, not normal love. You know, fathers, mothers love their children. But I don't think many fathers, when their son goes missing, they become blind. Have you heard? It's not very common. They suffer, you know, they become ill sometimes. But Ya'qub suffered a lot because he had great love for Yusuf. And imagine, Ya'qub became blind despite being a prophet. Because to be in such a level of iman and trust by itself had reduced the pressure. Yeah, but the love must be so high that even a person with that capacity is affected. Do you get my point? So if the love that Ya'qub had was, you know, among ordinary people, maybe they were killed. So, the love was special. But love of Allah for us is 70 times more than love. And 70 is an example. Because many times when we say 70 or 770, these are numbers that can mean a lot. Not necessarily 69 plus 1. 70 means a lot. So, Allah's love is much more for us than our parents. Even if you have very loving and very special father or mother, the love cannot be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we feel very comfortable. Alhamdulillah. I am in east or west, north or south, any part of the world. This is the world which has been created by my Lord, so it belongs to me. And I belong to this world. I am not a stranger. Yeah? Even if people say, you know, you don't have nationality of this land. I say, okay, I don't have nationality of this land, but I have natural relation with this land. Which is much more important than nationality. Okay? These nationalities, these countries are something, you know, based on agreements. Sometimes they make a country bigger or smaller. Sometimes families were separated, you know. When sometimes they, for example, you know, divided the countries. So part of family remain in one country, part of them in another country. But our relation to this world is something that no one can take away from us. When Allah created us, then we are a natural part of this world. We are natural citizens of this world. No one can take this away from us. So we feel very comfortable. But imagine if you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never understand. A person who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very, you know, negative feeling of having no belonging, no security. Because he feels that he is here just by chance. Why are you here? By accident. No one wanted me to be here. You know, just as a little example, of course, the issue is much greater. Imagine if a child thinks that he was not wanted. And a child that knows that his parents prayed and wanted and for many years were waiting for him, then he was born. Psychologically, it gives two different conditions to the child. The child that, you know, knows that he's never wanted, even if he knows that he has parents, feels very bad. Now imagine if someone says, you are not wanted and you are not created, you just came as a result of explosion. So this person feels, you know, totally, you know, out of world. I'm, why I'm here? I'm just like a dust Yeah, but we don't feel we are dust. We feel we are like a plant. And sha'akum min al-ardh nabata. We have roots. A plant has roots. Yeah? So this is different. So, one result of this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you have hope in Him. And if you have any worry, if you have any fear, is that not to do anything that would make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy with you. This is the main thing. You know, this ayah in the Quran is very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people that you call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they want to stop mercy of Allah coming to me, can they stop? They cannot stop. And if Allah decides something bad happens to me, can they stop? No. إِنْ أَرَادَ مِيَ اللَّهُ بِالضُّرِّنْ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّنْ. If Allah wants, I suffer, for example, or I have trouble, you know, something, they cannot solve my problem. أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَةٍ. Can they, you know, block rahmah of Allah coming? No. So I don't care about them. The main thing is to make sure that my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay. So this gives mu'min ability to be always hopeful, to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, a mu'min does his things properly. It's not that the mu'min doesn't study, you know, doesn't work, you know, doesn't, you know, learn. Says, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah is in charge of everything. So I, no. Allah has also a system here. As I said, there is procedure, there is protocol. You know, you cannot say, you know, I am created by Allah, so I do what I want. No. You have to be careful. But don't worry too much. Don't lose your hope. Despite all the difficult, you know, circumstances that you may go through. Okay. Finally, there is a question, a kind of question that some people may ask about tawassul. Of course, tawassul needs to, inshallah, have an independent session, but here is just at the end of lesson 17. Some people may say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of everything and no one can do anything independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you do tawassul? Why you call upon holy people, upon prophet, upon imams? Why? This is against tawheed. This is the question. The answer is that, as we said, no one can do anything independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can do. And this is mentioned in the Quran. You remember I told about even creation of birds by Jesus. اِسْتَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينَ كَهِيئَةَ الطَّيْرِ فَتَنْفُقُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ. So, if someone asks Prophet to help him and he thinks that the Prophet can do something independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is shirk. But if someone asks the Prophet for help and he knows that the Prophet has his power, his knowledge, anything that he has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just an instrument, an agent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is compatible with tawheed. Actually, this is tawheed. Because you cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the only factor, the only one who works in this world. As we said, there is a hierarchy, there is a system. In philosophy, inshallah, when you study Islamic philosophy, there is a rule. This rule is very important. It's called Imkan-e Ashraf. It's a rule. the Qaeda, Imkan Ashraf. This rule is very important. According to this rule, when you have different levels of existence, because you know we have different levels of being, okay? This is Tashkik al-Wujud, inshallah you will learn. So, when there are different levels of existence, different levels of perfection, the grace of God, who is on the top, would come to those who are in the bottom in a gradual, connected way. In other words, we cannot have jumping, or as they call it in Arabic, fatra. There is no fatra and there is no tafra. Tafra with ta means jumping. And there is no fatra, there is no gap. What does it mean? We should have all these levels in between till we reach this point. Like the famous example is like if you have a waterfall. When water comes from the top of, for example, mountain, it's not that water jumps in the sense that you have water here, then no water, then you have water here. It is not possible. It comes all the way from the top to the bottom. Is it clear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with absolute unity and simplicity that He has, He would not be doing things in this world which happen in time and space unless there is a hierarchy. Okay? Of course, different philosophers then had different way of explaining this. For example, some philosophers believe in 10 intellects, Uqul Ashar. Like, you know, Ibn Sina, you know, peripatetic philosophers, Masha'un, they had this idea that Allah creates the first intellect. Then the first intellect is creating the second. And then the second, the third. So gradually, when you come down, it becomes more complex. Allah is absolutely simple. No kind of multiplicity, no kind of combination. But then gradually, then we have the tenth intellect. Al-Aqlul Ashir or Al-Aqlul Fa'al, active intellect. So according to Ibn Sina and philosophers like him, the last intellect, Aql Ashir, is the one who runs this physical material world. Okay? Because it has now some multiplicity, some type of kathra, some different aspects that now can deal with this. But even Aql Fa'al still is mujarrad. Even there is a question that how Aql Fa'al can run this world which is changing. Even then, there is an explanation. How? No. All these 10 Uqul are created. Allah is on the top. I don't want to discuss it now. Just, I wanted you to, you know, think this, inshallah, in future. Then you remember this, so it helps you to prepare. What is the point is this. Whether you believe in Uqul Ashara or more or less or another explanation, you have to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of this world, He doesn't come into, you know, different bits and pieces of this system. He has created the system, okay? But don't expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to get into these details. It's not just a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of wisdom. Like, for example, you know, if you have a leader, the leader out of wisdom doesn't go into, you know, little things. But for Allah, more than wisdom, it's also a matter of existential relation. Something so little in the lower levels of existence does not receive grace unless through some channels. Through these channels, the mercy of Allah come to them. You understand? But what is amazing is that although there are channels, but each bit and piece of this system is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the last one who is aware of what is happening in the bottom. Do you get the point? So you shouldn't compare this with a system. For example, you know, we have a person on the top, then 1 million people, you know, there is hierarchy system. So everything which comes from the top to the bottom takes time, and everything which goes from the bottom to the top takes time, and sometimes maybe there is no communication. In the between, it's finished. Yeah. There's no communication. No. In the case of Allah, it's not like this. In the case of Allah, everything is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in the sense of Allah's knowledge, Allah's will, Allah's power. But because Allah creates the system, so when in that system there are orders, there are different levels, then logically their connection to Allah can come in order, in different levels. Okay? For example, this example may help you from some aspect, but always, you know, you don't expect example to be perfect. We say, يُقَرَّبُ مِنْ جَهَةٍ وَيُبَعَدُ مِنْ جَهَةٍ or يُبَعَدُ مِنْ جَهَةٍ sometimes. So sometimes one example from one aspect is good. From, for example, you know, famous example is lion. When we say someone is like lion, what do you mean? From bravery point of view, yeah? Not from every aspect. For example, they say mouth of lion smells very bad. Okay? So when we say someone is lion, we don't mean this. We only are talking about one side, one aspect. يُقَرَّبُ مِنْ جَهَةٍ وَيُبَعِدُ مِنْ جَهَةٍ. Especially with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot have perfect example. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. But as an example, inshallah it helps you. If in your mind you consider 10 apples, imagine in your mind 10 apples. These 10 apples are created by you. Okay? And you have full control over them. But can you have these 10 apples without having 9 apples? No. Can you have 9 apples without having 8 apples? No. So, you could not have 10 apples without having first 1 apple, 2 apples, 3 apples. So there is an order. Okay? So, you were able to create these 10 apples one by one. Although you created them at the same time, but 10 apple depends on having 1, 2, 3, 4. Or another example. Now I make it vertical. This is horizontal, vertical. Imagine a building of 10 floors. Okay? We have a building of 10 floors in our mind. Can you have the 10th floor just hanging on the air? No. There must be 9s, 8s. Okay? So, if in your building, in your mind, you want to send water to the 10th floor, how do you send it? It has to go first floor, second floor, yeah? Or you can take a pipe from the bottom, but anyway, it has to go from down to the top. Drainage comes from top to the bottom. So, these are different aspects of a system. Although, you created the system at once, you didn't create it gradually, but the system by itself has these relations. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world, He didn't create the world like assembling bits and pieces. It's not that Allah said, okay, let's first create some materials, then we put them together. No. Allah has created everything at the same time, and actually more precisely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created only one thing. That one thing in itself has many, many different parts. It, you know, can come gradually. So Allah says, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. Allah only does things once. Okay? He has done things only once because He's one and He does only one thing. But that one thing takes billions of years for us to unfold. Okay? But it's not that Allah is, you know, creating. Is it clear? Anyway, those who say tawassul is shirk, they need to study a little bit. You know, unfortunately, they don't understand these things. And actually, this is the meaning of Tawheed, that it's impossible, you know, to be absolutely one and then not to have a system through which you send your mercy down. You have to have a channel to send your mercy down. Why Allah says to the Prophet, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Why He didn't send the Rahmat directly? Why He has to send Prophet and with Prophet Rahmat? It's a question. Yeah? Why we need Prophet? Oh, Allah send us Rahmat directly. Why Allah speaks to a Prophet and then the Prophet speaks to us? Why Allah cannot speak to us directly? Because we cannot cope with that. There has to be levels. Allah speaks to someone who is most understanding among us. Then He tries to make us understand. And still, we may not understand. But if Allah speaks directly to us, we cannot cope with it. Okay? Revelation is not something easy. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, we think that Allah has given a book to Prophet, which is called Quran. Okay? This is Quran. You think that Allah gave this to the Prophet? He could have given to me. We think this is the meaning of receiving revelation. This is not like this. Allah didn't send a book to the Prophet like, you know, a printed book. Allah spoke to the Prophet. That's different. What you see here on the paper is after many, 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 many levels of simplification and, you know, revelation, you know, coming down, till it becomes linguistic. This is very last stage of it. And still, after 14 centuries, we have, you know, not understood these letters. Still, you know, we are familiarizing ourselves. But this is the very last stage. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated to the Prophet, it was different. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. It was a very heavy word. Rasulullah was struggling to receive. As you know, sometimes people thought that Rasulullah maybe is dying. He was sweating, you know. Very... You know, it's like what? Like, you know, if you connect electricity to someone. Electricity is only 200, for example, 10 volt. Yeah? Now imagine if you connect to someone 1 million volt. What happens? So, this is much more than that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because, you know, if you connect 1 million volt to mountain, what happens? Nothing happens. You can connect 1 million volt to mountain, nothing happens. Yeah? But Allah says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية. So it must be 1 trillion volt. So that can not just explode the mountain. It's very beautiful. It doesn't say it just would be exploded. It says becomes خاشعا متصدعا. It becomes like dust. So humble, because not, you know, big rocks. You know, explosion can make a mountain to rocks, But if it's very strong, can make it just dust. You understand the difference? So, this is the Quran. So, the capacity of Rasulullah was great. So, how can we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to us directly? How can we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His unlimited rahmah to us directly? It should be coming through channels, you know, narrowed down, you know, made. Like, for example, if you have a little born baby, you cannot give him food. You cannot give him, you know, biryani or curry or whatever. Yeah, if you have a little baby, what should you do? Just some drops of milk or, you know, water. Yeah? Even, you know, sometimes milk, they cannot digest. You know, they have problem, you know, you have to give them something, you know, so that they can just digest even. Gradually, then become strong. So, in this world, we have levels, and every being, depending on the level that he occupies or it occupies, has limited capacity, a certain capacity. You cannot give it too much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also doesn't give less than what they can take. This is also very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gives anything in this world less than what that person can take as far as Allah's generosity is concerned. Because His generosity is not limited in itself. What limits His generosity is our condition. Okay? The only thing that limits Allah's generosity is the circumstances that I am in that circumstances. Allah has no problem with having all people like Salman and Abu Zar. All people like Allama Tabatabai. Allah has no problem. Even more than them, no problem. There is no limit. There is no quota system that Allah says, you know, at each age we can have only few good people. Other people have to be ordinary. No. The only thing that limits this is our circumstances, our capacity. Okay? But Allah doesn't also give us more than what we can cope with. Nothing less, nothing more. So, if you want to get more, what you have to do? Open up. You have to open up. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Is the one that Allah has opened up his chest and then he has light, like the one who doesn't have light. So you have to open up yourself, then Allah will fill it with light. Okay? But even this opening up is with the help of Allah. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. But let Allah open up your heart. Don't say, you know, I am fine. Oh Allah, you know, I have, you know, mashallah, very great heart. You know, you don't need to trouble yourself. Everything is perfect here. No, nothing is perfect here. You know, sometimes we say to Allah, you know, I am fine. You know, I'm good. But we are full of need, we are full of problems, yeah? Full of bad qualities. Let Allah take over, let Allah fix the problems, open up your heart. Okay, so tawassul is not something against unity of God, and indeed it's an implication, a requirement of having proper understanding of tawheed. If you have proper understanding of Tawheed, then you would realize that there is a system, there is a hierarchy, there are instruments and agents that work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, in the book, there is a discussion, what are the reasons that Allah has asked us to call upon the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt or holy people? There are several things. One is that in this way, not only Allah is helping us in getting what we want, but Allah is also showing to us the value of those personalities. You know, sometimes I can give you something directly, but I want to establish one person. Say, okay, don't come directly to me. Go to this person. If you have any issue with me, go to him. I want to establish this person. If people see that by referring to that person they can get their hajat, then they would love that person more, they would respect that person more, and as a result they follow him better. Because we want people to follow him. Okay? When people see that this person can help them solve the problem, they realize that he's a close person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will follow him better. So this is, again, love of Allah for us that gives such power, such position to these people to do something for us, either in this world or a shafa in the hereafter, so that we follow them, so that we become better. Okay? So this is the philosophy, at least one of the aspects of the philosophy of tawassul. To make people more encouraged to follow their good leaders. Okay? Also, it has another aspect. The other aspect is that it's very much against arrogance, selfishness, and pride, negative pride. You know, for us human beings, to be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not very difficult. Of course, even many of us struggle here. We think, you know, why, you know, we should be humble before Allah, na'udhu billah. But at least mentally it's easy. Maybe by heart, you know, we are arrogant. But mentally it's not difficult. Allah is our creator. We have to be humble. But why I should be humble with respect to this person? Ana khayrun min. As Shaitan said. Yeah? I am better than him. Shaitan said, khalaqtani min nar, khalaqtahu min teen. But I say something else. I say, I am white, he's black, or I am white, he's black. Or he's I'm black, he's white. I don't know. Color. My father is so and so, I am better. I have more money, I am better. Yeah? Why I should be humble? I am man, she is a woman. Or I am a woman, he is a man, you know. I am old, he is young, or I am young, he is old. We use many different reasons, and all is to say, I am better. But depending on the situation, we use different things. Okay? So a real test of humbleness is how much you are humble before people. Before, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan had no problem in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 6,000 years he was worshipping Allah. Okay, he had learned the skills and habit, so he could continue for millions of years. When you can do something for 6,000 years, you can do it for millions of years. Yeah? But the problem was, there was arrogance. That arrogance only came out when he was tested by showing humbleness, not to Allah, to Adam. Okay? So this is problem. An alim, for example, can be very humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how humble he is before another alim. This is the test. This is the test. So, when we ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may develop that arrogance. But when we know that there are servants of Allah, that Allah loves them, I say, okay. If Allah loves them, I go to them. I don't say, no, I am also like them. They are human beings, I'm a human being. Or I am, you know, 90 years old. Why I should go to this little girl? 3 years old girl. This is when you can understand whether there is arrogance or not. If Allah says, you know, to go to a little baby or to a, you know, I don't know, 60 years old man, it doesn't make difference. I listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I go to everyone that Allah is directing us. So, one advantage of tawassul is this, that you become more humble and arrogance can go away. And you also try to become such people that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also would give you the position of helping other people. You know, you can do shafa'ah for, you know, ulama, for example, you know, can do shafa'ah. You know, we have hadith that when people are judged to go to heaven, ulama are asked to stop. You do shafa'ah for the people who have learned from you. So they can also come with you. So, pardon? Pious ulama. Ulama who have helped people in getting to, you know, taqwa and these things. So Allah gives right of shafa'ah not only to ma'sumin. Ulama, even mu'minin can do shafa'ah for each other. Sometimes parents can do shafa'ah for the children. You know, there are many different things. So everyone should try to be reaching that position. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.